Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Good news of hope, worship there. Nkapese, the name of the track. We trust the Father is doing you well. Blessing you so much in a mighty way, the best of friends we are, man. This is happening throughout. Up to the hour 8. Thank you so much to Johan Els, man. Thank you, Johan Els. Something else. Thank you so much. And of course, people are saying thank you for the beautiful songs you're playing. Hey, manna. Hey, Johan. People are grateful for the beautiful songs that you're playing. And they're grateful. He's back with us again tomorrow. That is Johan Els back with us again tomorrow. Anyway, we believe you are well. It is Wednesday, therefore it's Wednesday Live. And I have Muruti Muraka is on the line. Greetings to you, Muruti. Welcome. Are you there, Muruti?
Yes, sir.
Greetings to you and welcome.
Greetings, my brother. Thank you for welcoming me. And greetings to Prof. Kabamba. Greetings to the listeners and participants of Radio Pulpit. We greet in the name of the Messiah, Yeshua. And we really give the Father glory and honor.
I trust you are well.
I'm well. Thank you, my brother. I really am well by God's grace. And hope you also are.
I'm very well. Can't complain. Just happy, man. Just happy that we are doing the show again tonight. And that the Father will continue to guide us and to show us the way. It's important to yield ourselves to the Father and that He shows us the way. It's not just a matter of having a good show. It's a matter of having a show that the Father wants us to have. And sometimes it might not be good according to our standards. But according to the Father, it might be excellent. And at times it might be bad according to our standards. It might be bad according to the standards of the Father, while we see it as being good according to our own standards, you know. So I'm just grateful that the Father allows us an opportunity to talk, you know, like this, and to speak of His oracles, and to touch on all aspects of His oracles. And of course, also we have on the line, Pastor Samuel Kabamba is on the line. Greetings to you, Muruti. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us again this evening. And we are so privileged and we are so thankful to God. And I greet you and I greet Muruti Muraka and all the listeners. May the Lord be with us tonight.
I trust you well.
I'm good. The weather's fine.
Mm. Oh, the weather's fine today. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, today I had an opportunity to sit in one of these government offices, the big ones, you know, a big department that deals with refugees and all that, and people who want asylum in South Africa. And I was able to see how people are really working tirelessly, you know. In the midst of times when everyone else is having a good time, there are people who are solving problems of people, you know, who have been devastated by situations of their former, you know.
Yeah.
And they come over and they say, because we see the light, you know, in this country. I was challenged to hear that, to see that a person would even cry tears. I know, most of these people are lying. It's just to get, you know, ahead. But the things that they would say, which are genuine, you are able to hear, you know, it's just amazing. It is just amazing. So we need to continue to pray that our country continue to shine. You and I must shine as citizens.
Yeah.
We must shine, Pastor Sam and Pastor Maraka, with the gospel so that people could say, I love that country, and they would challenge those who would say, let us make our country even better than that. you know. That to me plays a major role. Absolata, yes. All right, and it is Wednesday Live, as we said. You know, much of the times we touch issues that have to do with the manner in which we comprehend things and how we impact upon the ministry, you know, the body of Christ and the body of Christ upon the ministry of the gospel in the nation, how we impact the nation, the country. This in itself is just one of those things that I think we need to look into. And tonight, we are looking at spiritual knowledge. What is spiritual knowledge? What is spiritual knowledge even all about? You know, in many instances than one, we become those kinds of people who had gone on to actually overlook spiritual knowledge. And to a great extent, I can say, there has been a trend where spiritual knowledge was replaced by academia. I don't know, Murutum Raka, if you have seen, there was a trend of people throwing away, you know, roles of being pastors and insisting to be called doctors. Well, there would be seminars that would be there. I saw some bogus ones also. There would be seminars that are there. Murutum Raka likes to, they like giving ordinary doctorate. And there are seminars there. I've seen some of my friends, hey, you ask a person, what is the topic of your, or the title of your thesis? They don't know what you're talking about. Let's leave it there. You know, but let's leave. And they go to an extent, people had gone to an extent of according prestige on the acquired knowledge more than the knowledge of the Father, that which you and I would call spiritual knowledge. We seem to have gotten to a phase where spiritual knowledge is looked down at. It's just like when someone says, love is not enough. You know, there must be money. You know, we get that kind of, you know, narrative. And the emphasis in or on pulpits when people are preaching or sharing or teaching or testifying has gone to the level of intellectualism. Now, this has taken place over the years. You know, the beginning of the 1990s, many people saw the dawn of this. There were very few of those who were ministers who were embarking on this until it was, and let me put in my word, prestigized, to accord prestige on a thing. And then pastors and leaders were told to start enrolling with these distance learning universities to get that very aspect of what knowledge is. Indeed, and I can tell you, over the years we have looked into this, and in looking into this, we had gone on to the aspect of saying, okay, since now there is an acquisition of spiritual, physical knowledge, academia, whatever it is, training and stuff, we had gone on to see many people diverting from that which is true spiritual knowledge. And you'd realize last week we touched very deeply on this. We went very deeply on this, very tightly on this. And I see no difference in last week's topic with tonight's topic, because we are asking the question, therefore, in the light of this, and people having acquisitioned such knowledge, what then is truth? What then is truth? People had gone on to acquire as much prestigious knowledge then what is the truth? You know, you're able to enter into a university that has the largest theological department in the Southern Hemisphere. And those who are running it, they basically do not believe in the truth, but they garnish on the knowledge which they had turned to actually make intellectual implications. And that has been the case. So the knowledge of now that we see, how far does it take us away from the truth? How far does it move us away from the truth? And the question therefore comes, what is truth? Right. Now, I want to go back just a bit because we touched a little bit of this. Knowledge, according to us, and spiritual knowledge, according to us, is truth, as we read in the Word. It is truth. And what is it even all about? Now, if you look into the Word, and looking into the very notion of spiritual knowledge, I'm just going to the past just a bit, then I'll come back to the present, please. Now, we read some verses that really challenged me last week, but this one stayed on and on and on. Spiritual knowledge is also described as the great truth or the great truths, which is by the believers. The great truth is found in Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth, which means he will bring judgment and salvation. The great truth, the great knowledge that is there and stands on, even though it is ignored, it is the very fact that, look, the Messiah has come, he will return, and when he returns, it is for judgment. That's a great truth. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, Beloved, now we are children of Yahuwah, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know, there's a great truth, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is the great truth. And we garnished these verses when we were talking about spiritual knowledge. Fast forward to the question of tonight. When we ask the question, therefore, what is truth? Now that we know what is knowledge, then what is truth? What is spiritual truth? If now we have an idea of what is spiritual knowledge, we are looking into that. Now, quite a number of points I have jotted down over a time. And this is one of the things that is just amazing. When we speak of the truth, we are actually talking about the Word. And many people really feel that the Word should be explained even far much more, in the sense that it should refer to the Messiah. The Word is, therefore, the Messiah. The Word has to do with the Messiah. Now, what is the Word even all about? The Word is about the knowledge of the Messiah. The Word, therefore, is the truth about the Messiah. And everything else that is being spoken has to accord to that truth of the Messiah. And I wonder if we move along together when it comes to that. I wonder if we move along on that, as to what is truth even all about. Now, someone said something to me and said to me, yeah, but truth is what you make it to be. And I disagreed vehemently with regards to that, because you find truth here on earth, you will find truth also in heaven. That is something that I know. You'll find truth also in heaven, because it is the word that stands forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not. My word shall remain. And that is what we should know about truth and what the truth is even all about. When we come back, we are asking this question: what therefore is truth in the light of what we heard?
Tapelo ya motho yo lokileng ena le matla. Tswela pele go rapelela Radio Pulpit moshumong o re o dirang Afrika Borwa le ka ntlhagamelwane ya yona.
All right, Muruti Muraka, sorry that I had taken a bit of time, maybe a long dry, in coming to the dissemination of that which is truth. I had to go back to the knowledge so that we should see how these programs are connecting, that they make one line of sense until we come forth to this very aspect. In Isaiah 42 verses 3, it says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. Truth is the justice of the Father. The justice of the Father is his truth. Muruti, what comes to mind?
Yeah, thank you, my brother. No, thank you for for going that route as led by the Spirit of the Father.
Because,
you always say we are learning, we are all learning, and we indeed are, and we thank the Spirit of the Father. Yeah, what comes to mind for me at this juncture is to just do a quick definition, if I can, of this term, truth.
Yeah,
because like you say, it is misunderstood. Because immediately somebody saying it is what you make of it, it's because they really don't understand truth. Anyway, let's look at in the Hebrew language, truth is called emet, and it brings across the following understanding: that truth is faithfulness, truth is firmness, truth is reliability,
yes,
truth is stability, and all those things. When we read the scriptures, we realize God is faithful, God is firm, He's not shaken by anything. He's the one who shapes things. And He's reliable. His word is reliable. His promises are reliable. And He is the one who gives stability. Outside of God, there is no stability. So that actually witnesses to the Spirit of God, which is truth. And of course, the Messiah being the Word of God is truth. Now, in the scriptures, which were written in Greek, the Greek language calls truth aletheia. And basically, it means that which cannot be hidden. In other words, something which is exposed, which is transparent, basically, if we could put it that way. It is authenticity, genuine reality. And someone, as I was reading one of those that have studied, and their doctrine are deserved. They are not what you were describing earlier on, which we talked about last week, where just because, in the world, when someone is a doctor, they are afforded that honor because they have studied. Now in the church, we rush to become those that call themselves doctors when we have not really studied. Well, anyway, from one who has studied, they say the unveiled reality lying at the basis and agreeing with an appearance, the manifested or the veritable essence of matter. Mm. In other words, something which can be verified, something that is manifested as reality. That is the reality pertaining to an appearance. Therefore, aletheia denotes the reality clearly lying before our eyes as opposite to a mere appearance. Some things may appear as if they are real when they are not real. They are not true. And this, if it is grasped, we then understand when we hear the Lord speaking about at the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established.
Mm.
But at the mouth of one witness, that matter will not be established. That which is true, I mean, I'm going back to what you are saying, the word of God remains forever. In other words, this age of darkness, it's just one age which is testifying to rebellion. It will pass away because it is not true. It is a falsehood. And when we look at truth, it is opposite to falsehood, to error, or to insincerity. That is number one. That which is false is not true. That which misleads is not true. That which is insincere is not true. A person can be insincere by saying with their lips they love God, but in their heart, deep in their heart, they really don't want to do what God calls them to do. When Elohim says, obey these charges, then they don't want to. They would rather set up their own system. Now, that being insincere, that is lacking truth. And truth is also opposite to types, emblems, or shadows.
Mm.
It's not necessarily there. We are not talking about fake, fakeness. We are talking about that which is made up as opposed to that which really exists. In other words, when we look at the tabernacle, which Elohim said to Moshe he should build up, the very innermost chamber, room, was where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. And that Ark of the Covenant and what was happening there was representing the real thing in heaven, the real essence in heaven. Even Elohim and the seraphim that are surrounding him, the throne also of Elohim, which is the real essence, if I may put it that way. But it had to be represented this side. So even though that which was a representation carried an ability to devastate those who crossed the line, like the Philistines who took the Ark of the Covenant experience, and they had to actually send the ark away because they said it will destroy us. It was not the real throne of God. It was a representation. It's not fake, but it is a made-up representation. So truth is also that which may be represented by certain things that Elohim has given us to teach us in his doctrine about the real essence, if I may put it that way. Mm. Now, the third one is integrity or rectitude of nature. You see, when Yeshua HaMashiach says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's in very integrity. In him, you cannot find an iota of something that is number one, false, or number two, which is a shadow, which is made up to represent something. Yes. He is the very image of the invisible God. He's not a shadow of the invisible God. So, yet, when you look at HaSatan, in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says about him that he is a liar, and he is the originator of a lie. So his very nature is lacking integrity. His very nature lacks reliability. Mm. It lacks trustworthiness. When he articulates anything, he's not genuine. He is lying. He is intending to mislead. That is how he is. And that's why when the Messiah describes him, he says, when he articulates a lie, he articulates from his own, for he is a liar and the father of it, the originator of a lie. So when we talk truth, now I'm going back just to link again like you did with spiritual knowledge. When we rely on the word of God to reveal to us the true knowledge which is given by the Spirit, we are actually experiencing the truth, the genuine essence. In 1 John chapter 5, the word of God says, the Spirit is truth.
Yeah,
absolutely. And in Psalm 119, verse 142, the word of God says, the Torah is truth. Mm. And in John chapter 17, the word says, sanctify them by your way. Your word is truth.
Yeah.
Now, and all of them are spirit. The word of the Torah is spirit. The word is spirit, and the spirit is spirit. Hmm. And they are true. Hmm. And they are one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you just joined us, we are asking the question, what is truth? What is the truth even all about? Last week we spoke about true spiritual knowledge. What is the truth? And according to the word, what is the word saying with regards to the truth? Are we still keen on speaking the truth? Or we are speaking that which is politically acceptable, or that which would be taken in by people we are afraid of because they might not be bringing in the revenues we desire, we so need. And so truth people move away from the truth. Or our own fabrications of designed knowledges Have these come to replace that which is truth? I want to hear from you. Send us your WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. Let's hear what you're saying, 082-657-2729. You can also drop us a voice note on the WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. We are touching base on that. What is truth? What is truth even all about? Today, do we care that much about the truth?
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Sounds of life.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
All right, let me bring this to you, Pastor Sam. The truth is also described as that which is trustworthy, that which is genuine and conforming to the reality. Psalm 119, Emuritu Muraka has touched on this. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony, as much as in all riches. The truth is described as the words of the testimonies of our Heavenly Father. And then when you look into verse 72 of Psalm 119, it says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Huh? Because the law of the mouth of the Elohim is truth. 127, Psalms 127, Psalms 119, verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, more than fine gold. Verse 162, I rejoice at your word as he who finds great treasure. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious are your thoughts to me, O Elohim. How great is the sum of them. Huh? Truth. Truth is amazing. Proverbs 3 verses 15 says, she is more than precious. She's more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. And Psalm 23 verses 23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The truth is divine wisdom, instruction, and understanding. What comes to mind, Pastor Sam?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. And thank you for all the scripture that you brought to us. And thank you to Muruti Moraka for whatever he has mentioned regarding the truth.
Mm.
You know, there could be a bit of a confusion when we just take the word that we read in the Bible literally and we put as the truth.
Mm.
It could be a big problem, according to me. Why am I saying that? Because in the last week we talked about spiritual knowledge.
Mm.
And I think the word spiritual as the inspiration. I think about where the knowledge is coming from. Because if the knowledge is coming from the spirit that happened to be the comforter that the Messiah sent to us, it will come and reveal, because the comforter is called the spirit of truth.
Mm.
And it's whatever that comes out of him, it has to reveal the very nature of the Messiah.
Mm.
When you talk about the fruit, we talk about the nature of the Messiah. Who is he? Now, you know, as I said, we can talk about any scripture in the Bible, but in that scripture, we don't see the revelation of the Messiah into it, or if it's not inspired in order to bring out the Messiah, then we are not really talking about the truth, because we haven't got that. The reason why I'm saying this is I think I get to, you see today a lot of men and women who call themselves the men and women of God, that's what they call themselves. I understand that, because somehow everyone will come out as a man of God and whatever. Okay, yes. Let's agree that whoever speaks about the Bible is a man of God or a woman of God. Now, you see that today, there are people who are using the word in order to see or to stretch something that, or to bring up something they want to happen, not necessarily what the truth is all about. And if someone can use the word to feed themselves or to really establish or to really make himself known, not necessarily the Messiah being known or being revealed. It's like when the enemy, the devil, used the word, he does not use the word for has to know the Messiah, but he used the word in order for him to find a way to express what he wants to express. An example, when he came to the Messiah with, in the book of Matthew 4, he came to him and said, it is written. The mere fact he mentioned that it is written, whatever that came out of his mouth, when somebody listened to it, will say, this is the truth because it is written. But in the same Bible, the Messiah is saying, nothing that come out of the mouth of the devil is truth. I mean, anything that comes out of his mouth is lie. I mean, even when he quotes a scripture, as clear as it can be, as long as that scripture does not reveal the Messiah, it's not the truth. It is something else. Now, I know for some of us who say, what is he talking about? Because the bottom line is, the Bible is speaking in the book of John 14:26, the Messiah speaking said, I shall send the word of God, I shall send the Spirit of God, or the Spirit will come, and he will talk to you, he will reveal to you, he will speak to you in all truth. I mean, he will come and make it, who is going to come and make everything known? Who is going to come and make us understand the very nature of the Messiah is the Holy Spirit. Meaning that if anyone speaks not be inspired by the Holy Spirit, he might quote the Bible, he might read some scripture in the Bible, but as long as those, whatever is mentioning is not prompted or maybe inspired by the Holy Spirit, whatever he's saying is not the truth, is a lie. Now, being a lie, one is quoting the Bible. Why saying that it's a lie? Because whatever that is not from the mouth of God, whatever is not from the mouth of the Father, and be prompted by the Holy Spirit, is not truth. It's something else. As you see in the Bible, from whatever Maruti you got a lot of verses talking about the truth and truth and truth and truth. Now, I'll give an example that in the book of John 10, the Messiah was speaking as from verse 1. He told about that he was talking about the good shepherd. The good shepherd entered by the gate, and so on and so forth. But coming to verse 7, he told them that he wanted to emphasize by telling them the truth. Now, I love this. He said, from whatever I've been telling you, I've been talking to you about the gate. Mm. It's like as if he had to enter instead by the gate.
Mm.
But coming to verse 7, he says, no, whatever I've been telling you about the gate, it was not a gate like you see, it was me. At least I was speaking about me. I am the gate.
Mm.
Meaning that I am the truth. The truth is the gate. Meaning that it's not that somebody has just opened the gate for me. He mentioned, when you read from the beginning, he says, I mean, the true shepherd is the one who enters by the gate, and somebody must open the gate for him. But then he's coming to the says, you know, nobody can even open that gate for me because I am the gate. Meaning that when I show up, I show myself, I am that gate, not that I have someone or somebody must open it for me. As I think I mentioned it, I think maybe last week, I said, we have these songs that people will sing and say, I mean, Jesus is the way maker, or they say the Messiah is the way maker. You know, it's not the way maker. He is the way. But when you say he is the way maker, it's like this, he can open that, he can make that way while himself is outside of that way. But he is the way. Meaning when you go through him, you are walking on the way. Because in the book of John 14, it says what? It says, I am the way, the truth, and life. You know, that's why he is. That is his nature. When you talk about, I mean, truth, good, I mean, we'll say it's, you know, as Maruti Mwaka mentioned, or the word, I mean, to rely on something. For me, I'll say truth has everything to do with that. I mean, the reality of the Messiah. When we talk about, people always talk about that there's a difference between reality and truth. When you talk about reality in terms of things that we see, yes, there's a difference. But when you talk about truth, we're talking about the reality of the Messiah, to make him real. Because for us to see, even for us to see the Father, we cannot see the Father with our naked eyes. But if we see the Messiah, we have seen the Father. Mm. And that's what, I mean, we can talk about as truth. You know, we can read the Bible as from Genesis to Revelation, but without being saved. We can read that. One can read the flipping pages and just going from one page to another and get to the end without getting anything and not being saved. But while the same Bible says, you shall know the truth, what is that truth? It's to know the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So we can read. And I think the Bible as a storybook, whereby you have stories, I mean, Elijah did this, and Moses went this and that. You can read all this, it sounds good. But if in whatever we read, we don't see the Messiah in it, and we don't grasp the Messiah, we don't embrace the Messiah, meaning we have wasted our time. And the truth to say, it is what reveals him and makes him be known. And when we follow, that when we come to the things of the world, I mean, of God, the Bible says the righteous shall live not by sight, but by faith. It means what? Faith is what reveals, because without faith we cannot please God. Because whoever has faith, we must believe that first of all the Father exists. That means we are making him real. How does he make him real? It is through the Son that he has given to us. When you go through the Son, you will see the Father. Yeah. And we need to believe that truly the Son is the real image, as Maruti Mwaka said, is the true image of the invisible God, of the invisible Father. And when we see him, we see the Father. And when we see the Father, we know we are saved. And the truth has everything to do with not just having mere knowledge, as Maruti Reddy said, that today people can teach the word of God out of their own mind. They can take the same scriptures. Why is Paul saying that people will come and they will distort the Bible? They will stick on, they will lose the Bible, but they will speak it, they will use it not to feed, not to speak about the Messiah, but they will use the Bible in order to establish themselves. That's why today we can see a church next door that is talking with people of all kinds. But you ask yourself a question, why people don't come to the church where I'm not going anywhere else, but I'm stuck in the Word. I pray to God. I pray to the Father to reveal to me the Word. And whatever I preach, I believe it is the Word of life. But people are not coming to me, but they're going to the next door church. What are they thinking there that is different from me? You go to that place, you just sit there and listen. You see them also opening the Bible, explaining the Bible. But the way they explain it, it does not speak anything about the Messiah, but it speaks about anything about what maybe the Messiah can give and not what he is. Somebody says, I'm going to land on that. Somebody says that today we have churches that have been, you know, the scripture in the book of Matthew 16, where the Messiah builds his church and the gates of hell will never prevail.
Muruti, just hold it there a bit for me. Let's take also calls. Sorry about that. Hello, ma'am. Hi. Siyabonga mama, sikuzwa kahle manga khulumela phezulu kancane mhlawumbe sikuzwe speaking sakho.
Ngumala mvuni.
Yebo ma. Siyabonga. Amen.
Amen. But the rain is not the same. That's the whole situation. So, you don't have an edge and pull up on a high kind of thing.
Wow. Thank you so much. Siyakuthanda kakhulu nathi. Thank you so much. We really appreciate, ma'am.
Rauzege.
We're taking your calls. You can give us a shout. Talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322. You can tell us as to how you feel about this. And we are asking the question, what therefore is truth? That is what we are touching on. I'm with Muruti Muraka and Pastor Samuel Kabamba. Prof, you were continuing there.
Yes, I was saying that, you know, someone said, according to the Bible, when you read in the book of Matthew 16, the Messiah speaking, he said, "He shall build his church, and the gates of hell will never prevail." Now, the idea behind it is, whatever we do, we have to have the Messiah as a central, as a focus in everything. And if the Messiah is not part of that organization, meaning that that organization could be in the name of the Messiah, but not according to the thought of the Messiah.
Hmm.
This is not according to the thought or according to the Messiah, meaning that church is not his church.
Hmm.
Now, today, we have a lot of churches out there that have been, in a certain case, I'm talking about, denominational congregation and so on, that have been built in the name. So, somehow, in the name of the Messiah, because we can go there and say, we talk about, in this church, we don't talk about anything else, it's Jesus. We talk about Jesus and so on and so forth. But the truth of the matter, that church is not based on the source of the Messiah. And the Messiah is not the one who is leading that church. Therefore, if it's not the one who is leading that church, then that church is not him. That as I was saying, you are in the church where you preach, you teach the truth. But people don't want to come and sit and listen to the truth. They will prefer to go next door whereby they are telling them something that looks like the truth, while it's not the truth.
Mm.
You know, something that sounds good to listen to. You know, I was telling someone, I'm going to end on this now, I'm going to start here by saying, you know, when people I don't want to sound controversial, but I want to make people see something that sometimes we don't get it right. You know, when people come and say, "I dreamt the devil fighting me. I dreamt," especially a Christian, we've had a lot of people, "I dreamt the devil fighting me. I dreamt it." And I said, okay. Then I asked myself a question. What would be the use of the devil? What would be the use for you to dream about the devil fighting you? What would be the purpose? Because if he has to come to you and fight you, meaning that you're going to discover it is him who's fighting you. But why? The Bible says that he comes to us and he disguises himself as an angel of light.
Hmm.
Meaning what? The devil, when he comes to attack the children of God, he does not attack them in order to destroy them in a way. No. He comes to the sons of God in order to win them. Because the purpose is to seduce them, change whatever they believe in, so that they may believe him. Now, if this is the way he has to come to us in order to seduce us, why is he going to come to us as the devil? When I'm talking about as the devil, I'm saying, why is he going to come to us with own, saying that I am the devil coming to kill you? He will come not as the devil killing you, but he will come as someone who wants to seduce you. He will look good, clean, well-dressed, to have you in his hands. Because otherwise, if he comes as the devil, you run away. And if you run away, then the role has been played. The Bible says you have to rely on whom? On the truth. Rely on the Father and resist the devil. Who is going to run between the two of you? It's the devil who must run. Money, if we come, we'll come not as ugly as we can think, as we've been shown when I was growing up, when you were still in the school, you know. They're showing us, I mean, the one coming with the big fork and, you know, this big fork and the red tail and all, you know, that. They're showing all these things, you know, to make us appear. But in the essence, this is not the way the devil shows us. He does not show up as that. He shows up as an angel of light. He comes with the purpose of seducing, with the purpose of manipulating. Then he will start the church next door, preaching the same message, speaking the same way he speaks. But his purpose is to take as many people astray. Because if he shows up as the devil, people will run. They say, no, yes, there's no God. Let's go to where God is. Why are many churches today, especially these mega churches, they are teaching wrong teachings when you take them and consider them with the Bible? I mean, instead of, hey, these people are just trying to feed themselves, not to feed on Jesus, or not to present Jesus or the Messiah to the people. But they're talking about themselves. But you see, people going there like crazy. It's to tell us that the truth is not what, I mean, people must believe that it is. The truth is really hidden in the man that we call the Messiah.
Sure, I hear you quite well. We are taking your calls. You can give us a shout. Talk to us directly there, 012-334-1322. We are asking the question, what is truth, therefore, in the light of the knowledge that we have garnished over a time? What is truth? And do we still find ourselves really inclined towards the truth? Is our inclination, whether it's sermons, teachings, works, influence, testimonies, guidances, works of helps, you know, hands of compassion, all that, are they done in the light of the truth? Or it's just, you know, as they say, good publicity for ministries and all that, you know. We find also in some instances that it is being that, even though it looks noble, but it is not what one can look into and say it is done in the truth. You know, it's just stunts to publicize. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. The best of friends we are. We are taking your calls, 012-334-1322. Let's see what you say. 012-334-1322. Let's see what you say on this matter. And of course, also send us a WhatsApp. It's 082-657-2729. And talk to us directly about that, as to what is truth and what has truth become these days. Are we still preaching that which is true, or we are just, you know, public stunting? It is just, you know, the business of denominationalism. It's just, you know, ministries that have turned into business. That's a question I'm asking. Are we finding ourselves really preaching quite right? And the WhatsApp you can send us, it's 082-657-2729, 082-657-2729. I am keen to hear from you also in that light. Now, after this, I'm asking again the question, what is truth? What is truth even all about? Why do we find such omissions even today? It's something we are going to ask after this.
Sihamba ngokholo kunye nawe apha e Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.